God together. Father God, we thank you so much for the word tonight. We thank you that you're ministering truth to us. We thank you that the Holy Spirit, the revelator, the teacher to the body, gives us a word that we can use and the application to go along with it. We want to change. We want to improve. Show us where we're wrong. Show us where we need to be polished and buffed and changed. Father, we thank you as clay. We thank you that you take us as the great potter and you shape us and you mold us. And every rough edge, you move out of the way, Father, and you break away everything that would be in the way of us being perfect. Perfect vessels unto honor for your purposes. We thank you, Lord, for the word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles up to Proverbs 12. Are you believing God to speak to you tonight?
Yes.
Well, if you believe, you will receive. God's got a word for you. We're looking here in our Proverbs chapter 12, continuing in our series of Proverbs. And we've gone down. Let's see, we've gone past 23. A prudent man, a smart man conceals knowledge, but the fool proclaims foolishness. That means this wise man will plumb up or fill up the hollows of his knowledge. He will fill himself up with knowledge or herself with knowledge. He will get the word of God. Ignorance is never godly. Ignorance is never godly. You want to get in to know. You don't want to say, I think the Lord said, because it takes a knowledge, an epic gnosis, an exact knowledge of the word of God to believe exactly for what God has given you. And you'll find out when you start walking by faith, you'll stop and say, man, do I really have the word on this? And when you get to that point, you realize I have to have the knowledge because it might be something God has for me. But if I don't know, it's in scripture. I just heard it enough times that I believe it. Because when they talk about faith, they're not talking about faith, human faith. They're talking about faith in the word of God. That's why I say faith begins where the will of the word of God is known. Yes, there is a natural faith. There's a human faith. There's two kinds of faith. There's a natural faith and a godly faith. But when the Bible talks about faith, they're talking about a godly faith. And what makes faith godly is you've got God's word on what you're believing for. That's what makes, other than that, it's just you believing something. I can believe all kinds of stuff. But you can only believe the word of God if you want it to work. So you must not be ignorant. You must be in the know. You must be knowledgeable. To be wise, you must be knowledgeable because knowledge is raw factual information. Wisdom is the proper application of that factual information or the proper application of knowledge you have. And understanding comes after you've done that for a while. You begin to understand what God was talking about, how it works, and then you can explain it to other people because now you have understanding of it. I understand that. I know what God says, and I'm just walking my faith, and I'm being wise doing it. I don't understand how it's going to work. I don't understand. I just don't understand. But if you keep doing it in faith, understanding will come. Get knowledge. Get wisdom. But with all that getting, get understanding. Get understanding. Understanding will come because you can't teach worth anything till you understand what you're teaching. You can testify that you're doing it, but you can't teach it to where other people can grab it until you've done it and you understand it. Let's go on here. It says a prudent man conceals the knowledge, stores it up. But the heart of a fool proclaims foolishness. Out of abundance of mouth, the heart, out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So a fool who's been meditating a bunch of foolishness can't speak anything but foolishness. That's all they can speak. That's all they have to speak. You can't give what you ain't got. And you will give what you do have. You'll give it. Because something will happen, it'll push you. Like I said, if you got hate or animosity or strife towards people, let the heat of life get turned up. Sometimes when in marriage and you people come in the office and they're marriage counseling, they're talking, and it's not till they get mad that they start telling the truth. When they get mad, you hear exactly what they think of you. Anybody married know what I'm talking about? Yeah, when they get mad, all the truth comes out. It all comes out. Why? Because you can't put on a facade anymore. The real you comes out. And see, what we want to do is know who the real us are and then address that, and where it's messy and not the way we want it, deal with it. That's what we want to do. So you are who you are. Don't try and cover it up. If you don't like who you are, change. Don't cover up. Don't deny. Change. I don't like this. I got these issues. Well, confess that you got them and then start working on what can I do to get rid of them and start doing that. Sometimes you might get rid of, I said, sometimes people may not like a certain person or something. You really don't like them. Their personality clashes with your personality. You just don't like them. When I get in situations like that, I make myself be nice to them. Right. I can just go on about my business. They go on about their business. But that's too easy for my flesh. Let me go and make this flesh get in control. This is an opportunity for me to walk in love. You see them and you don't want to say hi, but you say, hey, how you doing? So forth. And they may look at you and all this stuff, but you don't think negative because you didn't say it for them. You said it because you're not going to let your flesh win and break relationships because you don't like them. I got something against them. No, I don't. That's just my flesh. not liking their flesh, but you still show love. And when you get opportunities like that, press in. You don't like somebody, make sure you say hello to them and speak and be as kind as you can. Some people may say you're killing them with kindness, but you're not killing kindness, you're just showing love. If you think they're your enemy, love them more. If you think they despitefully use you, pray for them. It's hard to stay mad at people you pray for. Not if you're praying right. If you're praying, God, just take them out. Just kill them, Lord. Just kill them. You can say mad at them, but you know better than going for God like that. Because you got any spirituality at all, as soon as you start saying that, your spirit says, wrong spirit. Wrong spirit. So if you're going to pray for them, you end up having to say, God, I'm sure they're going through something. And that's when you begin to understand they might be going through something you're not aware of. So therefore, there's no need to react. And you begin to get an understanding that leads towards a compassion. God, I know you even begin to look at the way they really are. They weren't always like that. It must be something going on. God, I pray that they have a good day tomorrow. God, whatever's coming against them in life, where devil, I bind your power over them in life. You can't. And the next thing you know, you see them and you're like, hey, you waiting for the good report. And you know what? Many times you do that and things change. Because prayer changes things. The prayers of a faithful person avails much. That's one of the deadliest weapons you have in the spirit is the ability to talk to God and to intercede for people and intercede for your own needs. And that's the one we don't do. We talk to other people about people. We complain to other people about people. Go to God. Right. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we used to say. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Folks don't want to take it to the Lord. I'm taking it to my friend to get agreement that that person's crazy. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's go on. The hand of the diligent. We covered that last week. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Brother Larry hit it a little bit this weekend. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. We looked at that in the today's English version, in verse 24, and it read, hard work will give you power. Being lazy will make you a slave. Being lazy will make you a slave. I think I ended up talking about excuses, excuses, excuses. Everybody's got excuses. As long as you got a, this is what my Bible school teacher, Cooper Beatty, used to tell us this. He'd tell you at the beginning of the semester when all the tests were going to be, when all the papers were due. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, it's months and weeks before any papers due. You know what the subject is. Months and weeks before any tests are due. I'm going to tell you what. When you come to me with an excuse is the skin of a reason wrapping up a lie. You're trying to cover up something, so you put a skin of a reason, just something that appears on the surface to have some substance to it, but really that's not it. Because most excuses, people are not trying to say, I forgot. It wasn't important to me. I didn't want to do it anyway. I don't care. They'll say, well, you know, something came up. See, came up sounds like the skin of a reason. But it's wrapping up a lie because you're not telling the truth. Be honest enough, tell people what's important to you ain't important to me. I just lied and told you I was going to do it. I would never plan on doing it. Because you think they don't know anyway? I mean, go back to what I said earlier about liars a couple of weeks ago. Yes. You trying to, if you really believe a thing, don't lie about the thing. And somebody say, will you come help me? No, I can't make it. Why not? I don't want to. See, that's not nice if people upset about it, but you might address, why don't I want to help people? I want people to help me. Why don't I want to help people? I really don't want to help them, but why don't I want to help people? You can get to a point to where you change. Don't you want to sow into somebody else because one day you may need to reap? Amen. See, but we avoid all that with the lie. We avoid all that by just saying, sure, I'll be there. Oh, girl, you know, I got busy. You know, my mother called and I had to go see about her. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Why can't I succeed? The man stopping me. Why can't I do good in school? Well, you know, my family, nobody was really that smart. My parents couldn't help me. I couldn't go to college because I didn't have the money. You know, in life, you got to get a job and get money anyway. You got to get it anyway. You can put something towards one class a semester for years and get a college degree if you want to get one. But the excuse, when you accept the excuse, you never get the results of having done the thing. Excuses, excuses, excuses. A slothful person always finds a reason to where they don't have to work. I would work hard at school, but, you know, I never did real well in school. Well, you never did well. Start doing well. Every test is easy and every test is hard. Every test I ever took is the hardest test I ever took. Every test I took is the easiest test. And what the reality of it was how prepared I was when it came to the test. There's times I was so prepared, I said, teacher, you can throw anything you got. It ain't good enough. If you stay on this subject that I study, you're going down. I'm getting, just give me my A and save me the time. Just give me my A. And there's other times, like, I hope it ain't a hard test. I hope it ain't a hard test. Well, of course, you already don't know the answers. We worry about being hard. You know, because technically, if they gave you the information they were going to cover and you covered the information and you learned the information, how can the test be hard unless they do something that's not on the information? And if you're like me, most of the time it's not because they changed the information, because we didn't know the information, because we didn't discipline ourselves to do what we need to do to know the information. So it may have a little bit to do with the sluggardness of me, not the teacher is mean. The teacher don't like black kids. Teacher don't like the white kids. The whole system's against us all. Well, you know what? Work within it. You're going to be all right. Because God gives increase. I can study for any test I need to study for. And I can get a passing grade on any test I need a pass grade. If other people can get a passing grade on it, I can get a passing grade. Because if the test is fair and the people ask the questions and I write the right answer and they put it down there and I studied the right book and the right subject, I can pass it. If I do my part. I can pass it. The hand of the diligent shall bear the rule. The hand of the diligent, the person that stays with it, the person that makes it happen. But the slothful shall be under tribute. He'll become somebody's slave. How many people are working jobs they don't want to work because they were afraid to get up and go and do the extra work to get there? And it's far better to spend 4 years busting books and maybe working two jobs and doing 4 or 5 or 6 years, whatever it takes you to get through college, to do what you really love doing than it is to spend the next 50 years doing something you don't like that's not going to give you a reward. Right. Pay the price, people. Whatever it is to do, pay the... Oh, I want to run a business. Pay the price. God called me to build a church. He said, your success is in starting and developing the church, so I got to start the church. Then I got to develop the church. Well, that's a period of time between starting, developing, and blessing. It's a period of time for 6 years, which is a long time. 6 years is no pay. Y'all didn't pay me for 6 years. Y'all would be shaming yourselves. Wouldn't even give a brother a dime. But, you know, I wanted to make sure we had what we needed, but that's the cost. Now, when we get bigger and all this and you got 5,000 people and maybe I got a nice house and a nice car and things like that, and everybody like, Pastor Cook stole the money. I'm going to look at you like you lost your mind. I'm going to talk to you like God talked to people. Where were you at when I formed the earth? You know, God, I think it was Moses complaining. Whatever Moses complaining, God said, Job was complaining. God said, hold up now. You lost your mind. Where were you at when I shaped the foundations of the earth? Where were you at when I slung the stars out into existence? That's just non-existent. Well, then, you know. But see, you always got the Johnny come latelys and the Susie come latelys. But you still have to pay the price. You have to pay the price. Whatever you're going to do, you have to pay the price. And I see slothful people look at diligent people and say they stole their way to the top. They slept their way to the top. Those are words of slothful people. An intelligent person say, how did you do that? If it's not something you're interested in, leave them folk alone. If it's something you're interested in, study them. Study how they did it. I study ministers to succeed and ministers to fail because I'm called to ministry. Well, who was working, what's not working? I've got my own vision, but I can still learn from people who are working. I look at the results and the kind of parishioners that some of them raise. Everybody around fighting black, whites, and fighting all this, and those folk free of that, and they going on in God trying to accomplish something in life. I said, I don't want those fighting each other. I want the kind to go on and accomplish. And don't get held back and don't get limited. Just go forward, realizing that nobody can stop you but you. Doesn't matter who, what kind, what color, what race, what religion. If you believe what the Bible says, you can win if it's you and God. And that's the truth of it. So that's what I stay with people. Go that way. That way I want to do what God wants. He wants to raise unlimited, unboundaried people. There's no limit and no bounds to what they can accomplish. They literally believe I can do all things and they don't stop to make an excuse for why they can't. Skins of reasons, wrapping up lies. There are many things we can do that we excuse ourselves from doing, blaming somebody else. Don't excuse yourself. If it's what you believe God wants you to do and it's in your heart, you just say, I'm going to make a way for it to happen because it increases me and increase coming from the Lord, and God and I make up a majority. Because no man will rise above his thought patterns.
Right.
And if you think you're limited, you have created a limit for yourself, whether it's imaginary or factual. You've already limited yourself in your thinking. You have to open your mind. I was watching The Matrix again the other day, and they got some words in there that's wrong, but I get a lot of spiritual things from that Matrix one. The rest of them are trash, but that one, the first one. And that man, Morpheus, looked at him, and he said, you got to free your mind. Because the man was stuck in the sight realm, which really wasn't real. That was just a fake matrix. It was made up. It was an illusion. It was not the spirit realm. It was just a natural realm made up. And how many people look at the situations that happen in the natural? They're controlling us. I didn't have the education. I don't have this. I don't have that. And gives credence to that. If you remember one episode, one part where the little boy, he went in a room and he was going to the guru lady. And she was the one, the prophet, whatever they called her. She was the prophet, the oracle. They were going to the oracle. And the oracle, she knows. They going to the oracle. And the oracle is in there, and they got all these what they call hopefuls. All of them thought they were the one. And then this little boy is sitting there bending spoons. And then this is a great thing about faith. He's bending spoons. The Lord shows me stuff in these natural things. But he's bending spoons, and walk up to him, and he looked at him like, this kid has bending spoons. Look, what is going on? And the boy looked at him and said, the secret is that you cannot bend the spoon. That is impossible. The truth is, there is no spoon. It's only your mind. And he says, you bend your mind, and the spoon bends because the spoon is not real. And see, are false limitations really real? Or do you make them real with your mind being in the wrong place? Can the shoestring really stop the elephant from moving, or does the elephant need to just pull it? And those of you who are visiting the illustration, so you keep up with what we're doing, the illustration of a guy saw an elephant, and they tied the elephant's up leg with something no more than a shoestring, and the guy comes to the circus. He's like, you tied the elephant up with a shoestring. He can get loose from that. They say, yeah, but he won't, because when he was a small elephant, we tied him up with a chain. And after so many years of pulling and not getting out, he began to believe he can't get out. So now all we have to do is wrap something around his leg, and he looks at it and makes it as big as a chain. But the truth is, there is no chain. As a man thinketh, so is he. Do you think there's somebody keeping you down? Do you think that you can't succeed in this society the way it is? Do you think your God is not big enough to take you over everything if you just not be slothful and keep pressing? Do you think that you, even if you get knocked down, you get back up, if you keep coming, you're going to make it? At what point do you stop thinking you're going to make it? At that point is where you make your excuse. I tried that. Didn't work. So-and-so wouldn't let me. And people quit thinking they can do all things through Christ anywhere along the road to not getting it done. I can stop right now and say, the church ain't growing quick because I want to work. It ain't working. I'm going to go and work for Pastor Butler in Detroit. He'll set me up with the church, have 10,000. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to go do that. But that's got nothing to do with whether what God told me to do at West Palm Beach is going to get done or not. I just walked away from it thinking it wasn't going to come. There ain't nothing there, because after all, you're crazy if you think there's not going to be opposition to success. You better think again. There's always going to be opposition, because there's a devil seeking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And he can hinder and he can delay, but he can't make it stay. You'll prosper anyway as long as you remain in faith. And when you make an excuse, you excuse yourself from pressing forward. I would go further than I am, but I'm limited by this. And the truth is, there is no spoon except the spoon you perceive in your mind. Because God has said you're without boundaries. God has said you can do all things. Now, God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. What do you say back to God? Yes, sir. Or do you say, well, you don't understand the man. You don't understand my lack of education. You don't understand that I'm crippled on one leg. You don't understand that I was on the wrong side of tracks. People are always excusing themselves from being a success. And if you make God enough excuses, he's going to say, well, you know, the Lord seeks to and fro, seeking whom he may show himself strong to. Satan's roaming to and fro to see whom he can devour. But there's two people seeking your destiny. God seeks your destiny to be unlimited and accomplish everything he called you to do, and everything that's good, Satan sees it. And Satan has things he put up that makes you think you are chained. God keeps telling you, you're unchained. You're my child. Just move in faith. Just move believing. Just believe it's going to be different for you. You're going to make it. Doesn't matter who else got stopped. You're going to make it, because you're not in that. You're not worried about spoons. You're not moved by what you see. And there is no spoon. Except the spoon you create. Nothing limits you except the limitations you create. And there are other people who will help you be limited. There are the folk out there will tell you you're limited. I'm amazed at what some preachers tell the congregation. We can't go forward because of. We can't do it because of. We're not going to make it because of. In this life, we'll never get it because of. But in the next life, in the sweet by and by, then we'll get it. I ain't trying to wait that long. I like that part that says, no man give it a mother, sister, brother, land, house, and not receive 30-fold, 30, 60, and 100-fold in this life and in the next. I don't hear nothing about the sweet by and by, because I'm sure it'll be by and by at that time. I want to hear about the here and the now. That's what I need to hear about. I need the grace of God, the strength of God, the encouragement of God, the ability to succeed right here. I don't need anybody telling me about in the sweet by and by is all going to be different. I want it to be different right now, and it can be different in many areas. I can succeed, and you can succeed if you just free your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Free your mind. Don't let anybody tell you anybody else is limiting you at all. Just realize the devil can hinder and delay, but he can't make that stay. Tell you we go with the church and we go on 5 months and the next thing you know, we get kicked out the hotel. That's a limitation. You look and say, no, that's not a limitation. That doesn't stop us from succeeding. That just hinders our success. So we sent letters to everybody. I was looking at that letter the other day. I have in a folder telling people we're no longer going to be meeting. We don't have a place to meet right now, but we will reconvene and let them know. And by eight months went by and we sent them letters. None of them came because they're good Christians. They found other churches just as they should do. Be waiting around for us. Go get your church. But we had to start over from zero again. Just a hinder and a delay. Couldn't make it stay. We're prospering anyway. Why? Because we believed what God said to us, that we're called to Pioneer Church in West Palm Beach, and we just came back. If you get set back, setback is a setup for a comeback. You get set back, now you're set up real good for a comeback. And you come back because you believe you can't be stopped. Anybody who's ever succeeded is the man or person who believed they could. And everybody who doesn't succeed has reasons why they didn't succeed. They don't just say, because I'm lazy and sorry. When's the last time you heard somebody say that? Oh, because I'm slothful. That's why I didn't succeed. No, they will begin to give you the skin of a reason, wrapping up a lie. The man, this, my associate, the other people. You know what? If you need your oppressor's permission to succeed, forget about it. Because he ain't never going to give it to you. Why waste your time asking, will somebody please let me succeed when God says, I'm your all in all.
That's right.
If you obey me, shall you not eat the good of the land? Now, I go back to this. Whenever you run in a situation like this, I always go back to the word because everything's got to be the word. And I find out how little sometimes people believe the word when you have to go to places like this. The word of God says that me and God are majority. Word of God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word of God said Pharaoh, Nero, Caesar, or anybody else cannot prevent me from succeeding or fulfilling the plan of God. Now, I have to get to the point to where I trust in my own understanding or I trust in the Lord. Which one do I do? Well, the word says lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your might, your soul, your heart, and in God and make your way straight. Now, the word of God says if I meditate the word, and I hear the word, and when people come to me and start giving me excuses why I can't succeed and why I should believe that, I say, no, I can do all things. I'm meditating the word of God. Now I make my way prosperous and I have good success. But I just need to keep going. But you can't make it. Crabs will tell you you can't make it. And try and explain to you how there's a valid argument in it. A valid argument. I can do anything I want to do in God. I'm not talking about anything, grabbing any old crazy thing, but God's asking, the things God asked me to do, nobody can stop me from doing it. The thing God has asked you and purposed you and put you in this time period for, nobody can stop you. If God's called you to be a missionary and to go overseas, nobody can stop you. All the money's out there available because whom God calls, he equips. And I'm not talking about just ministry because we all call to ministry. Whom God calls and purposes, he preordains and lines everything up. Wherever God guides, God has already provided. But people think they don't have the provision, so they make excuses not to step out in faith in that area. We moved in this building and we didn't have the money. We didn't have $160,000. We had $90,000. And it was supposed to cost far less than that. And I was like, Lord, this is your building. And these folk ain't doing right. And I can't carry the care of this because I can't do nothing about it. I prayed all I could pray. I confessed all I confessed. I cast this over on you, and God worked it out. He sent his brother William Wombo, who was in the construction business, and he said, look, I can get all the majors. Save you a bunch of money. I can get the electrical, the air conditioner, the AC. I can get the plumbing. And he got all those people. So the guy who was building it, who couldn't get it for the price we could afford, he went and got William supplied to people. They refused to work with that guy. We're not under him. We're under William. They didn't even want to work with him. They didn't even want to work with him. So here he is. I got everybody in division in here trying to build a church out. But either way, they were under William, a godly man, the ones that were dealing with the major stuff. And thank God the major stuff's right. The toilet's flushed. Amen. The minor stuff, the walls may not meet at a right angle like they should, but the toilet's flush. Okay? The lights stay on. God worked it out. But if I kept trying to carry the care of it and trusting in me and feeling bad, like I ain't done nothing but good and all the bad has happened to me. Why is it like this? I do nothing. I just said, well, Lord, you know, it's your church. Your church. I got a house. You need one. I'm going to go home. You know, I just said, you know, Lord, you know, we ain't do nothing wrong. The situation came up with the devil and things going on. But I just believe that he ought to know by now not to be taking you on. But Satan was trying to get me stuff to see that I would get out of faith. As the leader of the ministry, trying to get me out of faith, and then start coming to you all, guys, it ain't working out real good, and some of the stuff's going on. I ain't tell none of y'all. I told some of the leaders, and I didn't tell them everything, because I said, you know what? God's got it taken care of. Amen. It's going good. Come take a look how far we're going. Whoa, and at the same time, I'm telling you how far it's going, how good it's going. I'm like, but we ain't got the money to finish. Y'all got to pray. No, I'm not ashamed. I'm not hiding anything like that, because I know that whenever you're going to go forward in God, there's opposition to push you back. But I don't let the opposition become an excuse to why we can't. I just say, oh, an obstacle. Step over and keep walking. Keep walking. There'll be hurdles to jump. And as long as you know how to jump, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Jump and keep going. But when people look at hurdles and they say the hurdle's this high and they do like this, oh, I'm blocked. You don't understand. I can't make it. Look up here. There is no hurdle except the hurdle you put in your mind. There's nothing Satan can do to stop you. All he can do is hinder it, but he can't stop you. When are you going to understand the truth of what's really real? He can't stop you. Only you can stop you. You have to give him permission to stop. Whatever you desire to be, an actor, a painter, a butcher, a baker, whatever, he can't stop you from succeeding, because the God that's anointed you to do what you're doing has already preordained your success. It's already a done deal. You're just going through the motions. It's kind of like going to heaven. We just live right. We're getting there because Jesus already paid the price. Not like you're going to live right and then get there and be like, now do I get in? God understood that. There'll be nobody going to heaven. Nobody going to heaven at the white throne judgment. That's the judgment of the sinners explaining them why they're going to hell. None of us even going to be there. Not if we live right and walk by faith for the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is not making an excuse that somebody stops you when God says you can do all things. Faith is believing God over what you see. And all we do is see stuff. The devil shows you chaos, shows you conflict, shows you problems, shows you opposition. But you, what are you supposed to say? I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I know in the Word of God. And it's that fortitude, that intestinal fortitude, the guts to face the opposition that many people have used to succeed. Not quitting. Not quitting. You know how much faith some people had with affliction and oppression that was on them, that they came out of it, that they lived through it? There are people went with the slave trade. There were people just said, if I can't live free, I ain't gonna live at all. And they jumped in the ocean. Well, you know what? To live has benefit. And it takes a whole lot of faith to live in oppression and to kill yourself and get out. That's like the crazy man that called me one day back in the early days when I was working part time. And then I was working full time, but I was at the church a couple days a week. And a guy called and he said, I said, answer phone, Joy Faith Christian Center. He said, is this a church? I said, yeah. He said, are you the minister? I said, yeah, Pastor Cook speaking. Well, I'm having problems. I just don't, you know, I love God, but I don't feel like I'm, and I don't know if I'm willing to die for God. And I said, well, did God ask you to die for him? Jesus died for everybody. How about the harder job? Be willing to live for him. Are you willing to live for him? He didn't even want to talk about that. He was busy trying to die for him. God can't do nothing with you dead. When you dead, you gone. You can't get one person saved. Has anybody ever been evangelized by a dead person? Anybody ever been saved and healed by a dead person? No. Satan would love for you to die. There's a whole lot of people willing to die for God and die for causes and die for things. Why don't you rise up and live for something? Ain't no benefit in trying to die for something. I was talking to one guy and I said, it's easy to die for things. It's much harder to live for something, to live for a principle, to live for a truth. Now, you may end up dying in the process of living for something, but your focus is wrong if you're trying to die for something. You can't do anything when you're dead for it. I think Martin Luther King was martyred by accident, not intention. He didn't go out and say, please, I'm trying to get somebody to shoot me right here. Shoot me. I just don't believe he had that in his mind. I think he got martyred. He died for what he lived for, but he did not go out to die for it. He did just assume in living now. I didn't see anything in his bio that made me think otherwise that he was trying to die. He wasn't trying to die for no cause, but there are folk out there trying to die for causes. People out there trying to die for Jesus when he died enough for everybody. He said, I died that you might live. That's what he said. Just go back to the word. Get rid of some of this crazy stuff. Go back to the word. I died that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. No, I want to die too. I don't think so. Let's go on a little bit further. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Don't be slothful. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. What kind of heaviness do you get when people are telling you why you can't win? Yeah, discouragement is a heaviness of the heart. Kid trying to do something, they say, well, you know, you're not quite tall enough to play basketball. Well, wasn't tall enough to play either, but he had a good run at it. No, you're not tall enough. You can't do that. You should try something like shuffleboard. You should try something that a shorter man can do. Maybe be a jockey. No, I want to play basketball. Somebody told him he could because he kept going. But you know and I know some devils told him he couldn't either. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. Are our words making other people's hearts stoop? Are we giving them excuses to why they can't succeed? Are we telling them that this is blocking you, that's blocking you, this is an obstacle, society's an obstacle, people who run society is an obstacle, where you came from is an obstacle, your lack of money is an obstacle? Are we telling people, you can do all things through Christ? I believe in you. If it's the will of God, you'll find a way. If it's the will of God, you can do it.
That's right.
No, we start giving them excuses why. Why we can't make it. Heaviness in the heart of man will make it stoop. How many people have stolen a child's vision away? Stole their vision. We call it maturing. When he grows up, he won't have such lofty ideals. He's just idealistic. If he or she is your child, that young person, or they're your friend or your brother, your sister, your co-worker, and what they're saying is not against the word of God, just believe with them. Just encourage them. Keep their heart high. You can do it. Other folks be telling them they can't. You look at what women can do in their man's life, telling him he can do it. Many men have accomplished many things they couldn't if they didn't have the right woman behind them. And many men have not accomplished what they could have accomplished because they had the wrong woman behind them. The words of a wife. The words of a friend are sure, I think Proverbs said. The words of a friend are sound. They're sure. They hold you up. Because your friend is the person who can believe in you. Unless you're saying something against the word of God, they believe in you. And they won't accept your excuses because they want to see you reach the pinnacle of your potential. They want you to get the fullness of what God has gifted you to do. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. I'm going to look at that in today's English version again. Verse 25, it reads, worry can rob you of happiness, but kind words will cheer you up. Now, that's the truth. Worriness will rob you. That's inflicting the worriness on yourself or the heaviness of other people inflicting on you, because the good words has a connotation, which I like better than today's English version, is God always uses those contrasts in the Proverbs, and he says heaviness in the heart makes it stoop, but good words makes it glad. Learning from Proverbs, you realize that he's talking about the power of the words that made it heavy and the power of the other words to make it glad. And they missed that in today's English version. But you see what they're saying. If you're worrying, self-inflicted depression, you know, oh, I don't know how it's going to happen. How's it going to change? What's going to fix it? Where's it going to work out? You putting yourself down. Right. Nobody's even telling you, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to make it. You're telling it to yourself. Putting yourself down. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know. Some people put them. Well, actually, we all put ourselves down because we hear what other people say, but we determine what we believe. Jesus had an interesting statement. He said, take heed how you hear. I have a sermon on that. It's time to preach it again. It's been a long time. Take heed how you hear. What are you listening for? Are you listening for other people to define your call of God on your life? Are you listening for other people and looking for permission for them, for you to succeed when God says, if you meditate the word day and night, do according to all that's within it, you will make your way prosperous and you shall have good success? Are we still looking and explaining and complaining about other people not letting us be what we could be? When God has no such limitation or acknowledges no such limitation in the realm of man upon his person. You can rise above every devil and every demon out there, and they are out there. But none of them are big enough to keep you down in God if you believe and you're on the word of God. Some of you need to rekindle those dreams you've laid aside that somebody has convinced you out of that you'll never be able to make it. It's too late. You're too old. You'll never be able to do it. You need to rekindle it, and you'll see the Lord restore the years that the canker worm has eaten, the scripture says. You'll see him restore it. The latter days will be better than the former days. There's great things, days of glory. Days of glory are left if the people will only get out of park and get into faith.
Yes.
And say, I won't be stopped. I can't be stopped, so I will win.
That's right.
And God loves children to do that, just like you love your children when they look at them and they believe in themselves. You wonder what's wrong with your kids. I said, the boy, the girl just need to believe in themselves. No parent's happy about that. And God's saying, you know what? They just need to believe. They can do it. I told them they can do it. I give them all the anointing, all the equipment, but they talk about somebody stopping them and what somebody did to them. Forget about somebody and go ahead and do what you need to do. You can get it done. Heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop. Don't walk around heavy, depressed, discouraged, making excuses. Don't be slothful. Get up and work, because the diligent shall rule. And that's whether they get permission or not from whoever they think is in charge. The diligent will rule, because that's a biblical truth. The person who keeps working will eventually be on top. Stay diligent at what you're doing in things of God. Let's look at, turn over to Proverbs 15:13 on the same point. Proverbs 15:13. Proverbs 15:13 on the same point. Reads as follow. A merry heart, a happy heart, a cheerful heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Now you look at people's face and they frown and looking sad, mad, and discouraged. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm happy. Can't you tell? No. We believe the word over you. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. If your countenance ain't cheerful, your heart ain't merry. What you thinking about? What's on your mind? What's on your heart? What have you been meditating? Think about it. Happy folk look happy. And sad folk look sad. And I didn't say that. It is scripture right there. Scripture says that a merry heart will make your countenance, your appearance, your facial expressions cheerful. There's nobody that hears good news and looks sad about it. Nobody hears something, oh, you just hit the lottery, and they're like, oh, it's too bad. If they believe the person telling it to them, they change the way they look. Girl, you kidding? No, wait, really? They change. Your aunt died and left you $1 million. No, you kidding? They don't sit there and say, oh, that's nice. Because a merry heart maketh. I'm going to believe the Bible over you, I hope you know. The merry heart maketh cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. If you can't get a smile on your face, you got to stop and see if you're in obedience to the word of God, to think on those things which are good, lovely, pure, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I think it's Philippians 4:13. I think it is somewhere right around there. Think on these things. If they're good, lovely, pure. God keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee.
People's mind ain't stayed on God when they got it frowning. They stayed on oppressing and oppressors and on people not letting them and them not having the money to do and the bills coming due. They're concentrating on something that's not going to give them any joy. It zaps the power right out of them. And there are people who will help you think about all the problems. You have to be wise enough in God to say, hey, faith grows in a positive mind and a positive heart. And my God shall supply all my needs. And that's a happy thought. That's a happy thought. The fact that nobody can stop you is a happy thought. Yes. Oh, I'm realistic. There'll be opposition, but that's just temporary. That opposition cannot actually oppose me. Because if I don't think of it and meditate it and give credence to it, it doesn't have to stop me from running. I just jump over it and keep going. You just jump over the hurdle and keep going. Didn't say there wouldn't be no hurdles. Many are the hurdles of the righteous. The Bible says afflictions. There'll be a whole lot of hurdles, but hurdles don't stop the hurdler. They just jump over. They don't stop them at all. They just jump over. Now, in life, there will be hurdles, but the question is not the hurdles or the hurdles at all. The question is your ability to hurdle. How well do you overcome opposition, not the opposition? There is opposition. There will always be opposition. There always has been opposition. There always will be opposition because there's an enemy seeking to and fro to oppose people. Forget about the opposition. Just become a better hurdler. When opposition rise up, don't say, oh, I'm not. You say, hey, that's all right. I'm still going to win. I still win. And keep hurdling. The success is in the man and in the woman. It's not what happens to a man or a woman that's important. It's what happens in the man or woman about things that happen on the outside. Are you moved off of your faith in God when you see things don't look like they're going to work? Or you see an opposition, are you moved off of your faith in God? Or do you just say, hey, that looks good. Too bad there is no spoon. There is no spoon. If I look at it and I just adjust my mind, I can walk right through it. You just step over and hurdle. Because God has already said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and no word is exalted against you. Every word shall be brought low. You're not worried about what people say about you. You're not worried about what it looks like. You only know what the word of God says, and it says you are a winner and you are supposed to win. Something's wrong if I don't win. I'm not talking about little competitions with one another, but in life, if I don't win, I missed it somewhere. Because I know that Satan, God's given me all the power I need to overcome all the works of the enemy. All the works of the enemy. Everything he would throw up. Any way you dress it up, I do not look at it as something stopping me, so I don't spend all my time looking at hurdles and trying to move hurdles out the way. I just step over them and keep going. You waste a lot of time trying to move a hurdle. Just step over it, walk around it. Whatever you got to do, don't stop the plan of God to be looking at. Some people tell you how big the hurdle is and they think you can't jump over it. While they spending that time, how big it is, you just step over and keep going. Just keep going. Because anybody ever got to the finish line, stepped over the hurdle. And there are people standing there at the hurdle saying, we can't do it. We can't surmount it. We can't make the we can't do it. We're trapped because of it. It's holding us back. We have got to pick this hurdle up and move it off the course. It's a course full of hurdles. The game of life is hurdling. Learn to hurdle better and just hurdle it and go. They disqualify you if you try and move the hurdle. And life will disqualify you because you'll forfeit your success finishing the race because everybody who does hurdle will beat you. And you're sitting there beating yourself trying to get the hurdles off the course so you can run unhurdled. They don't have a course in life that's unhurdled. There are hurdles and persecutions in life. How well do you jump? Jump and keep going. We're going to stop there. We got more, but that's enough to chew on and meditate. Amen. We'll pick back up again next week. Don't let anybody stop you and don't listen to folks trying to stop you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Only believe the word of God and believe the word only.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word and for the wisdom of God. We thank you for ministering truth to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are unleashing our potentiality in these latter days. We thank you that you're building our faith, that we have an attitude, an aptitude, and a fortitude that we cannot and will not be stopped any longer by the mistruths we have been told and taught. We can do all things through Christ. We have rule and authority over every demon and every devil and everything that will rise up against us. We shall accomplish the plan of God in our individual lives because you have preordained, predestined, pre-qualified, and pre-equipped us to do it if we would only believe, Father. We thank you that you're helping our faith to be strong and to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.